All right, so Mark is in here already. This is good. Great. Let's just start off with a bit of a chat. Mark, let's see if you're on there.
You're morning, there? Brent. How's it going?
How's it going? Yeah, good. Hey, thanks for coming in this morning. And I don't know a lot about it, so it'll be great to get some information from you. I mean, I know there was an event on Thursday at Moira Hall, and I saw a bit of chat about it online from various groups, particularly a couple of fishermen that I know had some input, and I know one of them at least, Mr. Tony Wood, who runs the Moocher Hunters competition, which is a catch and release competition. He went, and I heard there was a good turnout at Moira Hall. So, welcome, Mark.
Thanks very much, Brent. It's nice to be in here this morning, and great to have a chance to chat about this for a few minutes. You're right; there was a very good turnout. I heard somebody walking around the back of the hall just before we kicked off, and they counted both sides and reckoned there was more than 100 people in the hall. So we were pretty delighted with the turnout.
Yeah,
and there was a great buzz of conversation. People sitting, waiting patiently before we kicked off at 6:30. Yeah, so right from the get-go, we were pretty delighted, really, with how people had turned out.
So what was the thrust of this event? Because it's been a little while since there's been a bit of a lull in the conversation around the marine environment on Waiheke. It was quite a hot topic probably 2-3 years ago now. Is this also timed with the local board election that you're, I mean, bringing this back up, or is it just, that's just serendipity?
Sorry to disappoint.
If you're out there listening, and you're a candidate.
That's right. Well, maybe it's a happy coincidence, but I wouldn't say it's anything more than that.
Okay.
So I guess over the last year or year and a half, a group came together on the island called the Waiheke Collective, and they're all about bringing peeps and groups together to kick off and energize and empower, I suppose, projects about restoring or regenerating the environment on the island.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a huge project, and it looks like a very successful project called Te Korowai o Waiheke, which is all about pest eradication on the land.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not directly involved in it, but I guess what I know about it is that stoats is their kind of main kind of target, and I think they're looking at rats and looking at eradicating the rat population on the island as well. So they're like awesome group with big goals, ambitious goals, and they're well funded and they're kind of going about their business. They've set up very professionally, and that's the first project that's come out of the Waiheke Collective.
Right.
And now the second one, the second cab off the rank, if you like, is a project to look at marine protection.
Okay. So this is just in its so it's not as developed yet as the pest eradication, but do you have aspirations for it to sort of be something of that stature?
Well, all going well, it'll become a big and effective and successful project in its own right.
Yeah.
So maybe I could tell you the story of what's happened over the last couple of months and kind of where we hope we're going with it.
Yeah, let's do that.
So I guess out of just discussions amongst members of the collective, maybe 3-4 months ago at this stage, the idea of the next project was floated around, and maybe we should look at the marine one.
Mm-hmm.
And just people through the collective then started to get together and meet to talk about like what's possible, what can we do. And over a period of 3 months maybe and 6 meetings, so we met roughly every fortnight, and we had a group of maybe 30 to 35 people come and go, so it hasn't been the same set of people all the time, but there's been quite a lot of interest. And what we did was we had a conversation about, you know, why are we here? Like, what would be the purpose of a group such as this? And then what might be possible? So we landed on a couple of things fairly early on. One is that we really want to be an action-based kaitiakitanga or guardianship kind of oriented group on the island for the whole marine environment of Waiheke.
Right.
So that probably says a few things. We don't want it to be a talk shop, although there's obviously a bunch of talking necessary at the beginning to get organized and get ready to go. And then the second thing is that we very much want it to be a community engagement, collaboration, conversation piece. So we're not a group that has a particular plan, and we're not setting out to do any particular thing. What we are setting out to do is get as many people involved that care about the marine environment from all sorts of perspectives and with all sorts of ideas. And we're working over the next few months to run probably a series of public meetings, a bit like the one that we did there, and maybe other formats too. We're still figuring it out as we go along. But our kind of ambition is that maybe before Christmas, maybe after Christmas, that kind of time, we want to run a big 3-day planning exercise that gets the whole system into the room. So anybody that cares locally and maybe wider as well. So anyone who's got a stake in looking after and wanting to look after the marine environment. And we, over 3 days, worked through like what's happened in the past, where we at now, and what's possible in the future.
Yeah.
The idea with a big exercise like that, it's called Future Search, is a particular way of doing it that's been run all over the world for the last 50 years. And it's very successful for big, massive community engagement. So we're kind of optimistic that if we do our job well over the next few months and we keep everybody talking and keep them in the conversation and don't be putting people off and out of the conversation, then when we get to the Future Search event, that we'll have a lot of support. Not that everyone will agree with each other, and it's not designed to be a bunch of people all agreeing with each other. It's actually meant to draw out all the disagreements and the different perspectives and the different goals. Like fishers want to fish, conservationists want to conserve, recreational people want to swim, commercial people want to do that, people want to build on the land right up to the water. So there's all sorts of considerations around the marine environment, and we want them all in the room for this 3-day event so that we can go, great, this is where we're at. What's possible from there?
You know, I mean, I suppose pest eradication is a fairly, you know, it probably has a lot of unilateral support besides possibly, you know, use of how you're going to get rid of the pests. And so far I haven't seen any 1080 hasn't come up in that conversation, but obviously the one about the waters has been quite a volatile one on the island in the past, and sort of continues, I suppose, to resonate in different ways. We've had the Kennedy Point one is a marine issue, I think, as well, and then we've had the you know, a couple of years ago we had groups being formed all over the island about marine reserves, anti-marine reserves, etc. So did this sort of emerge again on the meeting that you had the other night? And this is what your process sounds like. It's there to kind of take those sort of already extant issues and try and get some collaborative or some agreement. I mean, do you think agreement can never come out of, is that what you need? Or,
well, actually, so we don't know is probably the answer to almost all those questions. Like, marine reserves are, I think, what comes to people's minds when they think about marine protection. And we've been really careful, and we've been really specific as well to go, like, we're not a marine reserve group, we're a marine protection group.
Yeah.
And there's many, many other mechanisms as well as marine reserves that can be used. And that's what we're about, is to try and find a way of looking at the whole, you know, Ireland marine environment and then looking at all the different mechanisms that might be available. And then looking at all the different groups that are interested in having some of those somewhere or not having them somewhere else, and trying to get that whole picture. And I guess we're optimistic that we can do a good enough job of getting that conversation going and keeping it going, or we probably wouldn't attempt it. It feels so important, like, now, more than ever, really. It just feels so important that
definitely
we managed
does.
To do something. So,
Did a similar process end up resulting in the Te Kōrawai project? I mean, or was it, you know?
I don't know. I wasn't involved, so I didn't see how it came together. I know there was a lot of conversation in Kōrero and, like, trying to work together on, like, what can we agree on and how we can operate and all that kind of stuff. So I've heard that it was a long process and it took a lot of energy and effort from people, and they got there. So they actually got to a place where they have a really clear purpose and a really clear organization, and, you know, they managed to organize funding, and busy. They're just getting about their business now, which is fantastic.
So I presume it's some aspect of the conversation must be like, how are we going to get funding? I mean, that's if it could happen to them, it could happen to another project of that, which seems to be of that stature as well. You know, I mean, fixing our marine environment and getting rid of bloody stoats would, would seem to go hand in hand in some ways.
They're very closely related, and like anything that we do in the ocean is affected by what's happening on the land. And we started making some funding applications already to a number of things that come up through the council and through some of the kind of funding bodies in New Zealand, but not to the big, large scale that was available for the land project so far. But, I mean, we'll keep working on that. Happily, there's some people in the group that like numbers and finance. I'm definitely not one of those, but they're on the case for us, which is great, you know. Yeah.
So what were the on Thursday night, a good turnout. What were some of the sort of predominant themes that you saw coming out of that that public meeting?
So the flow of the event was that we spent a bit of time setting the scene. So we talked about, like, from a very global perspective, we played a little David Attenborough video that said, essentially, things are quite urgent, let's get busy, just very generally. We had Olive Andrews, a marine scientist, come in and then talk about some of the stuff that's happening around the Pacific Islands and how they're taking a kind of guardianship approach to their whole you know, the extended economic zones, like huge big marine areas around countries up there, which is really inspiring. And then we had somebody chat about the sea change process that's happening in the Gulf here. So all of this was kind of setting the scene. And then we had a conversation, a structured conversation, really, where over 100 people got to chat together in small groups around what are the benefits they would see out of taking a whole island approach to marine protection. And then what would the challenges be as well? So we documented or grabbed all that down on nice, bright, shiny pieces of paper and chucked them all up on the wall. And well, it doesn't translate very well into a radio show, but there's this like bright, colourful wall of all of people's ideas around the benefits, looking after the environment, healthier fish stocks, better fishing, reversing some of the damage that's been done by things like sedimentation, responding to climate change. So like there were some very small local ideas that are really important and some kind of big global ones on the benefits. And then on the challenges side, like people just put up things like, you know, how do we get everybody around the table to kind of talk about it from their different points of view? How do we make sure that we're doing the right thing in the right place at the right time? People were saying that we need to make sure that the science is good before, like, for making decisions on it, which is one of the kind of guiding principles of the group that we've kind of kicked off with. So like nobody came out and really strongly like objected to anything. They were really just kind of voicing what the considerations were. So at that stage there was a great buzz in the hall, if you can imagine. At that stage there were still 70 or 80 people there all chatting away in small groups and them throwing these ideas up on the wall. So we're going to document all those and chuck them up on a website. We haven't really got to it yet, so that everybody who was there and anyone else who wasn't there will be able to come in and have a look and see. And then we'll run more events like it so that people can add to, you know, what do you think the benefits are and what do you think the challenges are as well. Obviously, there's plenty of those too. So then after that, what we did is we had a panel of people that are in the group to kind of sit there and talk through in a bit more detail, like what's the group done so far and what are we aiming to do? And it's kind of what I explained to you a few minutes ago, really, this idea of generating and carrying a big conversation around the island for 6 months maybe. And then at the end of that, doing a big massive kind of planning effort. And then we threw it open to the floor. So we had a kind of question and answer session then. So people asked a few questions about the group. There was a guy from Rocky Bay. I can't remember his name, but he asked a great question. He said, like, what would you do if the science says, you know, everything seems kind of okay, let's not do anything? And different people from the panel responded to that in different ways. So our scientists on the panel kind of said, well, I suppose that would be fine, but it's highly unlikely that that would be the case because we know how degraded not just our local marine environment, but really everywhere the marine environment is in trouble. We had somebody from Natty Power stand up and say that that wouldn't be an acceptable outcome because they actually know of the state that the water in the Gulf and the local waters here are in, and that they are in a degraded state and the sea life in them is in a degraded state. And it might be okay as an okay baseline, but, you know, her perspective was that we could do better than that. And probably an interesting thing to say about that there as well is, like, there isn't one voice for this group. Like, it's a really interesting dynamic. Even within our group of people that have been quite active in organising, we've got very different perspectives as well. So there's no one person in the group that has the answer of how this is all going to play out. Like, we're having to sort it out amongst ourselves, and we want anyone else who cares and who's got an opinion and has got a bit of, you know, energy about it to get in amongst it with us as well. Because essentially it's going to be a big, long, just trading backwards and forwards of ideas and trying to understand different points of view and figuring out and all that what's possible. So even in our group, there's quite different and not always like in agreement kind of points of view about stuff as well. It's an interesting interesting dynamic,
You had a couple of students on as well, didn't you, I think, at the start? I mean, my bias, I do teach at the high school, and I remember some couple of students came, and they seem to be kind of getting energized by this theme. I mean, particularly given that, most of them would have grown up their entire life surrounded by water, so
The high school seems to have some great stuff going on. They have, I think they're part of a sustainability program, and they're doing a lot of stuff on land. They were talked about reducing plastic waste and cleaning up rubbish, and that they're starting to look like doing things in the water as well. And I know that there has been an education program through the council and the dive shop here on the island this year, where I think in the first term they brought the kids out in the water and just brought them snorkeling so they could see. And the second term they introduced them to some common problems. So the common problems were like overfishing in areas, plastic waste, kinnibarans, and destructive fishing practices, like kind of longline stuff, and how that kind of catches seabirds. And so they're just kind of introducing to all these ideas. And then I think in the third term, they had a project to do.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, they're kind of presenting back around, like, what have they learned and what have they done? So they've got a big kind of program of education around the marine happening there, which is fantastic.
I mean, looking, if we, so if we're thinking about it kind of, you know, you brought up earlier the, some of the Pacific Islands and this idea that, you know, that they certain have, you know, certain kaitiaki responsibilities that stretch out into, you know, off of the island. What, I mean, for Waiheke Island, what would you sort of, what would be looking at for, how far out do you think our kind of concerns would go or our, at least our efforts? I mean, are we looking like here towards barrier, or are we like 1 kilometer off, or what's the sort of...
So. I'm going to keep saying this, and I'm not trying to be funny, but we don't really know yet. However, there are a couple of ideas, right?
So someone must have brought it up.
So in the sea change process that happened over the last year or a few years, I covered the whole Gulf. There's an idea called, I hope I get this right now, Ahu Moana, I think, which is the idea that within a local area out to a kilometre from the coast, so quite local, that there will be community and iwi kind of joint responsibility for the area. So we've kind of looked at that and gone, well, maybe that's a model that we could include.
So it's kind of like you looking out for your neighborhood, bit
sort
of beach
like your
and
own
water.
Backyard sort of idea. And I mean, the cool thing about looking at this question here on the island is there is a bigger context that already exists, and a huge amount of work has gone into, which is the sea change program. And that seems to be gaining some kind of political momentum again. For
was that,
to
the
be,
kind of reserves and protected areas?
Well, I think that's just one part of it. Like, it's, they basically spend a bunch of time with a whole bunch of stakeholders creating what's called a marine spatial plan. So they looked at the whole Gulf, and they said, we could do a bit of protection over here and keep this for commercial activity there. And so you kind of look at the whole context, and you try and figure out what's a good mix of protection and then use and exploitation and, like, all the different uses, recreational and commercial. And you look at it as one big thing. And so that already exists all around us.
So that's the entire Gulf.
It is,
Which was for, like, Cape Colville to... Breamhead or something. I don't know.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah.
That's what it is on the, we do the weather anyway.
That's right. Yeah. I know that's from the weather station names as well. So, like, we've been reminded of that a few times. Like, we don't have to go and reinvent the wheel for everything. There's already a big piece of work that's already happened all around us. But it does say in that piece of work, the sea change, that, like, Waiheke Island will kind of sort themselves out. Obviously, it's probably written slightly different than that, but that's the essence of it.
Right.
So we feel like we're kind of looking at that and stepping into that space and seeing what we can kind of generate as a, like, we want it to be a movement, a community movement thing. And I was at pains to point out at the end, some people are asking questions about, like, why haven't you talked about this and why haven't you talked about that? And eventually I kind of went, well, we haven't talked about a bunch of things because, like, we're not here to give anyone answers. So we're here just like everyone in the hall because we're kind of interested and we care about this and we're trying to see what's possible. So if you're really interested in something, come and get amongst it with us and help that be part of it.
So what's your kind of next steps from here? Do you have any plans for other meetings or any other ways that people could engage with your group?
We do have, so we got some meetings and then some exciting stuff. So maybe the next meeting, we've only really got one date at the moment, which is the 28th of this month. So we're going to have another meeting. It's open. We invited everyone there that night, or anyone else who's interested in this question of looking at, you know, marine protection on an island-wide kind of basis. And what we are doing on that evening, the 28th, is we might spend the first bit of the meeting just kind of recapping for anyone who's come along new, like, who are this group of people? How do we get here? We spend 5 or 10 minutes doing that at the meeting. We might spend half an hour the next time because if people come again, they're obviously quite interested. So we want to do a good job of explaining what we're about. But once we do that, then we've got kind of 3 streams of work and we're asking people to come and volunteer with us in one of these 3. So whatever they're most interested in. So one of them has to do with kind of legislation. So there's legislation already around use of the ocean, around marine reserves, around, like, all sorts of things that relate to, you know, doing things in the water. And then not just legislation, but also mechanisms. So when we talk about marine protection and people go, oh yeah, marine reserves. Yes, marine reserves, but also like traditional rahui. There's ways of taking an area and maybe not doing any fishing, catching, for example, in a particular season. So maybe spawning season, but then the rest of the time great. Or I'm just trying to think of the other examples that people were talking about the other night. There's many, many different ways. You might look at a certain species and not kind of catch them, but then everything else is fine. So there's lots of different ways where you can kind of go about. Like, for example, I run a small project on the island called Kelp Gardeners.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we've got a small patch out near Enclosure Bay where we remove the kina from because there's no big snapper and there's no crayfish in there to kind of keep their numbers down. Mm-hmm. So we're removing them out and we're video documenting everything so that we can see the kelp regrow, basically. And we're just trying to demonstrate, you know, that we can do this. So, and that's a form of marine protection as well. So like there's all sorts of different things. So what we're saying to people is if you're interested in any and all of that stuff, come and talk to this group.
Yeah.
Then we've got another group, which is just planning and getting ready for that big 3-day event that I was talking to you about. We need a bunch of people to just help organize that. It's a bit of a big deal.
Yeah. And where might that happen?
We're hoping that it can happen at the Marae here. Yep. So yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, for all sorts of reasons, be a great place for a kind of home for that kind of work to be happening on the island. And then probably the biggest group at the moment then is what we're just calling it information. So there's a lot of stuff to do with information around knowing what the current situation is.
Yep.
So there's plenty of people on the island that are fishers, that are do commercial boating trips. Then there's the dive shop. There's like volunteer groups like the Kelp Garden and stuff. There's a lot of people that are in and around the water all the time and know stuff. Then science, and there's good science studies that have been done around the island, around the Gulf. So we want all that in. And then how do we tell the story of all that back out to people? So this group is going to be all about gathering in good info, probably running lots of meetings and more chat and getting people's perspective, but also then learning how to tell the story. We need people to... Few people said it the other night. When you look out over the Gulf and the sun is shining like today and the water is just beautiful, everyone goes, oh my God, it's like paradise and everything is sweet. And like, it is fantastic. And no, everything is not sweet. And so we need to find a way of telling the story of that to people to say, look, it is paradise and we want to make sure it stays that way, really. So that's what that group is all about, is that kind of information piece.
Yeah.
So that's the meeting will be for, you know, people to come along, learn about what we're doing, and then kind of volunteer, because we made the point, like, we don't want people to just come along and talk or just come along and listen. We want people to get involved. So, yes.
All right. Sounds like you guys are pretty, you know, it sounds well organized and that you've got, you know, things in place, and that makes it so much easier for people to get involved, you know, when it's all... It's difficult at the beginning, when you're like...
Well, what we're trying to do is also find things that are kind of like really interesting, engaging, exciting for people. So if I could chat for a minute about something else that's coming up.
Yeah, go for it.
So one of the guys on our team, Adam from the dive shop, has organised with, I think it's New Zealand Geographic and the Blake Foundation.
Uh-huh,
I think it's just called Blake now.
Yeah.
So they've got this virtual reality experience that they've created where they've gone out and they've gone diving around New Zealand, and they've captured fabulous high quality video footage in areas where the marine environment is still pristine. So they've gone into protected areas and marine reserves around the country, and they've shot awesome footage, and then they've also gone to other places and they've shot things like Kinabarans and other kind of degraded marine environments, and they've turned it into a virtual reality experience, and they're touring the country with it. So they're coming out to Waiheke, going to be here on the island. I don't have the details, and I'd love to come back and chat to you about it again, maybe closer to the time, but we think that's just going to knock people's socks off. Like, if you're a diver or a snorkeler or whatever, then you probably know a little bit about what's going on, but these are like Jacques Cousteau kind of quality video experiences of what's in our kind of waters. And I think for people that aren't normally underwater, which is most people in fairness, it's going to be a brilliant opportunity to see what's going on and to realize how much down there is to care about, which is
so you're sort of run that slightly separately, or that might be at this next meeting on the 28th.
It won't be at the 28th. But I will find out the details, and once we're organized on it, I'll come back and let you know. It's pretty exciting.
Hey, well, Mark, it sounds like a great project, and it's a great one for Waihikians to get involved. I mean, they have been vocal about a lot of things like this in the past, and this sounds like a way forward, really, to get all those voices together and make some real change out there. Maybe we can lead the world. I suppose that was actually the part of the goal for Te Kura Wai, is to see an example of what can be done on places. So.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And there is a very nice piece, which is the marine park status for the Gulf was set up almost 20 years ago. At the beginning of next year in February, it's its 20th anniversary or 20th birthday. So we're hoping that we might have something that we can say, hey, look, we have a plan that the community is behind. We're excited to start doing as a kind of a birthday present to the Gulf. Yeah.
Hey, Mark, if people want to get in touch with you guys now, is there, what's the best way for someone to get in touch? Nothing at the moment?
We're not quite at that stage where we can say,
here's our website.
Perhaps the Waiheke Collective, actually. If they do a search for the Waiheke Collective online, what happens is a Te Kura Wai website appears.
Oh, right.
And you can contact the collective through there and that'll get to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Hey, Mark, thanks for coming in, and hopefully we'll hear from you guys again, and good luck for all the upcoming organizing and events. Mark Russell from the Waiheke Collective.